and amen. All righty. Thank you so much. What a wonderful time to be able to spend in prayer. For those of you that need to keep up on what's happening at the church, there's the church bulletin that you can avail yourself of here at the table. You can get that before you leave. This morning, we need to get right into real quick, because as I have said about 3 weeks in a row, we're going to finish up today on the Word of God. And my plan is to do the same this morning, to finish up teaching about the Word of God. The last time that we were with you, now this last week we're in the auditorium, and how many enjoyed last week with Brother Mark Thrift? And boy, he has a way of presenting missions. It's in his DNA, and any time my wife and I have had the privilege of hearing Brother Mark, when it comes to the end of his lesson or his message, we want to sign up. While we were missionaries, we've been in several missions conferences with him, and we were missionaries to Mexico at the time, and we wanted to sign up to go to missions again. I mean, it just God is all over him and is using him, and we thank the Lord for him. But before that, we were looking at basic principles of Bible studies. Basic principles of Bible studies. We said, number one, effective Bible study depends upon a correct heart attitude. How you approach the study of the Scriptures will affect what you glean from the Scriptures. And I'll take us back to that verse in Ephesians. It says, walk in the Spirit. Walk ye in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, the desire of your flesh. So if we're walking in the Spirit, and that applies to everything in our life, even to Bible study. When you're studying the Bible, if you're in the Bible looking for something that you can use to either defend yourself against something that's happening in your life, or you want to be on the offense. You want to approach somebody. Hey, I'm going to show them. And you approach the Scripture that way. You will find whatever you want. It's here. You can twist it however you want. You can find whatever you want to fit whatever you want. You can make it fit. But that's not the right way. You need to have the right heart attitude as you're approaching Scripture. Or else, you'll make the mistake of seeing something in the flesh, and the Holy Spirit of God will not be the one that will teach you what you're going to read from Scripture. All Scripture, we said, is to be understood within its proper context. When you approach it with the right heart attitude, it will help you be able to see it in its proper context. So many times throughout the week, every week, I'll have a question that'll be asked, and then it'll be about a verse. And I'll say, well, what's it say, above it or below it? I'll ask him, what's it say? What's the context? What's the conversation? Who's speaking? To whom are they speaking? What are they speaking about? And you have to understand it within its context. So many of us have been in a situation where we'll walk up on a conversation and we feel like we understand after a few seconds what the conversation is about. And so we'll chime in. We'll chime in. And it has nothing to do with what they're talking about. And you'll get that look like, where'd you crawl out of? You know, and you feel this big. And then you're like, you know what? I should have just hushed up and zipped my lip and just listened and enjoyed the conversation. So context is everything when you're reading the Word of God. Make sure it's within its proper context. We talked about all Scripture is to be rightly divided, 2 Timothy 2:15. We looked at that and we talked about that. We also looked at the individual, we didn't get to this one here, but the individual words of Scripture are the key to correct understanding. Proverbs chapter 30. I don't know if we read this or not, but we'll read it this morning. Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to look at several verses. Have your Bible handy if you would, and you can join me or we can read it for you. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. The Bible says, "Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him." And then he says, "Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar." Let's be honest, transparent this morning. How many of us, and I'll be the first to raise my hand, you have understood a word or part of Scripture, a verse, in a certain way all your life, and then recently you found out, oh man, that doesn't mean that. I've done that. And it changes everything. There are portions of Scripture where I have read and heard teaching on and read teaching on and studied and everything. And, you know, something, you know, it was like, okay, you know, I can kind of see that. But, you know, it's like, well, I guess we'll go with that. And that's how I felt inside. I never vocalized it, but that's how I felt inside. And it didn't quite mesh with everything else in the Word of God. Now, that should have been a red flag for me. That should have been a red flag for me. And then I'll find out what an individual word means in context. And it just opens. It's like, oh my soul, why didn't I see that? And the only person I can get mad with is Dan. Because he was the dummy. God doesn't try to trip us up on purpose. He's very clear in His Word. And so individual words are very important. Hebrews 12 does talk about that. Let's look at it, an example in Hebrews. And I might have shared this with you, but in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 is a very good portion of Scripture that speaks to us of what a Christian experiences with sin in their life after they've been saved. Okay? Some folks wonder that. And it tells you how God handles that. And so in Hebrews chapter 12, you see God's heart in this matter. And when He says in verse 3, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children," when he says, "My son, despise thou not the" what? Chastening. Okay? The chastening or chastening, however that's pronounced, I'm not the scholar. There are folks in this room that could do a better job at that. "The chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him." God does not punish His children. I got some looks there. He does chastise His children, or chasten His children, or rebuke His children, or correct His children. Why do I say that? Because if we were to be punished by God, where would we be right now? We'd be in hell. Because that is the price for sin, the punishment. The wages of sin is death in hell. So God doesn't punish us. If we were to get punished, we would go to hell. He saved us. He paid the price. Are we in agreement with that? When he lay on the cross, voluntarily lay down. You say they hammered him to the cross only because he let them. He was all God and all man. He lay down and allowed them to nail him to the cross. So he lays down, he takes our place, and he pays the price for the sin of mankind. And when he is done, when every drop of blood flows from his body, as was prophesied in the Old Testament, said every drop. And we know that because the scriptures tell us there's an account of how that when they pierced his side, water flowed. And I'm told, now we have some medical personnel here, I'm told that when the body no longer has blood, what comes out is water. And that's what come out. So all his blood was shed to pay the price for the sin of mankind. And then he said this, it is finished. It is finished. He did a complete job. He paid in full. It wasn't done halfway. So when he paid the price for sin, he did a complete job. It was totally for mankind, all at once. No more sacrifice has to be made. Hebrews talks about that. We don't do daily sacrifices or yearly sacrifices anymore because that has been taken care of. The perfect sacrifice took place, right? So you're with me. So he chastens us. He corrects us. He rebukes us. Sometimes he lifts his hand of protection. Think of Israel. Was God going, and just wailing on Israel? No. Israel got rebellious and decided to go their own way. And God said, fine, you want to go that way? There you go. And he removes his hand of protection from Israel. And they experienced what their own desire and their own, the consequences for their own going their own way and walking how they wanted to do things. God says, you want to do things on your own? Go right ahead. He'll let us do that. But we can't turn around and blame him for it. Those are consequences for what we decided to do. God said, listen, I've got some protection for you, and I've got some guidance and some direction and some discernment and all this wisdom for you right here. But if you want to go your own way, that's your deal. But you're on your own. I'm not going with you there. Okay? So he corrects us. Wow, I started preaching a message, didn't I, on that. Just on trying to talk about. You see how though that can direct us in a whole different a pattern of thought and heart, and we can end up going the wrong way in our thinking, and it also affects how we serve. See, if we serve a God that is leaning over us like the game at the fair called whack-a-mole, and he has the mallet in his hand, and I just hope that one just phrases his head once. Because he's had it coming for a long time. And then you finally raise your head and he goes, yes! Boom! Boom! And he just lays you out cold. And some of us have a view of God like that. I used to have a view of God that, but then the more I started reading about him and knowing him and experiencing him, that is not the God that sent his son to die on the cross for our sin and make a way. He humbled himself and he made a way, and he just stands there and he says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I want to. I've made every provision for you. I'll not force it, because forced love is not love. But that's the God I've come to know. And so it affects our understanding. I'll give you another one real quick. One that comes to my mind that for me was one of those moments that went, you know. And you know when it happened? It happened when I was teaching. I was teaching through Philippians. And Philippians chapter 4, let's look at that. Philippians chapter 4. And this happened to me also because of a different language. Philippians chapter 4 and verse, is that right? Yes. Philippians chapter 4 verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And then it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. So moderation. When we look at that word, and I was homeschooled, but one of our one of the key elements of homeschooling, and my mom loved this, was spelling and definitions. Every day we had to write at least 30 words, and it changed every week. And then we had a test at the end of the week. Now, homeschooling is not for the weak, and especially when you got six kids. But my mom's son, she took it personal, and I remember a brother that didn't write his spelling words, and son, there was wrath at the end of that week, and it came in a form of a paddle, but anyway, she was serious about that and definitions, and so moderation. What's the first thing we think of when we think moderation? Somebody help me. No bad answer. What moderation? What would it be? If you had to guess. Not too much. Okay. Not too much. What else? Limited. Okay. We think of ourselves at a buffet, right? And it's like, you know, I'm going to have to take it easy here. I'm going to have to pace myself. We're going to have to work in moderation here. So, what did you say, Ms. Karen?
Evenness.
Evenness. Okay. Good. All right. Yes. 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 It's hard to do. You're right. So that's how I've always understood that word and that verse. Let your moderation be known. So everybody needs to know that I'm even, that I know when to quit, I know when to stop, know when to shut up. That's kind of the thought process there. But it's almost like it don't fit. So I got to looking at the word, and actually this word in every language that the Bible is written in, there's a different word for this word translated out of the Greek. And you know why? Because in the Greek, this word that is supposed to appear here has so much meaning, so much definition, that there is no one word in any language that gives it its proper definition, which is why it says in English, moderation, and in Spanish it says, now my mind just went blank, but it has a different word that's not moderación, which we would say in Spanish, and so many different versions, or translations, not versions, but translations. And I got to looking it up, and what it means when you take all these definitions that one word means, and you throw it in the mixing bowl, and then you stir it up, you know what comes out when you bake it? It comes out, let your humility with grace be made known unto all men. Your humility with grace. My mind went, pow. How does that tie in with everything? Beautifully. Because if moderation is it, then I've blown that. People don't know me for necessarily moderation. Right? And most can point to anyone in their life and say, well, that person's not moderate in this. They're not moderate in that. I mean, they do this, but, you know, they also, man, they blow it over. I mean, they'll eat the whole pack of cookies. They just don't eat one cookie. Right? So let your humility. Individual words of Scripture are the key to correct understanding. So find out. Now, I'm going to, as an old guy, I'm going to blow your mind right now. Okay? And I can only say this because my son helped me. All right? But I've got a Bible app here. And then in this Bible app, my son placed something where I click on a verse and it gives me the meanings. This morning, Carmen and I had a conversation. She knows better than this on a Sunday morning to get into theological questions, and she threw out, what is it, 1 Thessalonians 4, what was it, 10 or 11? Okay, 11. Oh, and it says, and that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commit. Now, she wasn't preaching at me. Don't laugh, Brother Larry. She wasn't getting after me. She was just sharing where she was reading in Scripture. Not that I don't deserve it. So what I did is I tap on that. And there's an actual dictionary that you can look up, and it gives you the definitions of each individual word. Now, I'm throwing this out there because this helps me. It's not because I'm smart. It's because somebody else has been smart before me. So, and I look at to be quiet, okay? And you got the Greek word isokadso, or something like that, means to keep quiet, to rest, or cease from labor. Now see how that gives it a whole nother definition? To actual cease, to lead a quiet life, said of those who are not running hither and thither. How many have done hither and thither this week? But stay at home and mind their own business? Ouch. To be silent, to say nothing, to hold one's peace. And it gives you how that appears in different parts of Scripture, and it helps you understand that. I love that. I love this. And so then when you go to read it, and it says, and that ye study, that means you apply yourself, you work at, you study to be quiet, to mind your own business. What if, in this world, we all practiced just that one verse? How would that change our life? Facebook would be out. I mean, they'd go under. So would Instagram. The telephone lines would quit burning up, and telephone companies wouldn't be popping up and monopolizing and taking control. If we just minded this. Now, this was my lead-in to Sunday, right? But you see how much meaning it added to that verse as we're drinking coffee this morning and just talking Scripture is what we were talking. And individual words. All right, I must hasten. Understanding the Bible is not a matter of private interpretation. The Bible says that in 2 Peter 1:20. We know this verse. Maybe we've read it before, but in 2 Peter 1:20, the Bible says this. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. You've got to watch any bird that comes by and says, this is what I think it means. Okay? Just be careful. Just be careful. I have to watch myself. I don't trust myself when it comes to Scripture. I want to make sure that I'm right in understanding what the Word of God says. I lean on those that have gone before me, those that God has used in the past. I lean on things like that tool I was just telling you about that tells me what the meaning of it is so I understand the context of it. And I pray, and I lean on the Holy Spirit of God, which every believer has in their heart. And He is our guide. And you are capable of reaching out and saying, Holy Spirit of God, show me what this means. And when you have that heart, you have that attitude, the Holy Spirit of God will give you peace and a calm about understanding a piece of Scripture. But you got to be careful with those that say that this is what I think it means. Well, I'm really not interested in your opinion. Now, when it comes to something that you've been doing for all your life, when it comes to campers, I want to talk to Brother Larry, and I am interested in his opinion when it comes to, or where the good restaurants are. Brother Larry and his wife, they're in the know. They make the rounds. And I say that in a very positive and in a respectful way. They know where to eat. They know where they've had some bad experiences. Another one is Miss Sharon and her husband, Brother Craig. They can tell you. They've been there. They've had some experiences. And so that's who I rest on when I want opinion. But when it comes to the Word of God, I want to be very, 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 very careful. Amen? The Bible must be understood in the light of God's consistency. God's consistency. Have you ever had in your life someone that you'll hear something about somebody and it'll be wrong? It'll be something negative. And you'll say, that couldn't be. Something wasn't told right, or something didn't happen right, or something. But that person, that's not how that person acts. That's not how they run their life. I've known them all my life. That's not who they are. That's not who they are. The same thing applies to God. If you know who God is, and you've studied God's nature, and you know His heart based on the Word of God, He's given us His Word to know Him. There are certain things in Scripture that don't line up with who God is. Like when somebody says, why would God cause all these natural disasters? Because that doesn't, in their mind, and they're saying it legitimately, they truly think that God caused all that and created all that. Why would God do that? Why would God cause all these people to suffer starvation? Because in their mind and in their heart, that doesn't line up who we say God is. And the fact is, God didn't cause all that. God doesn't cause all that. It's just the opposite. It's not why do bad things happen to good people, it's why do good things happen to bad people. Man in the Garden of Eden had a choice, and he made his choice, and everything that we see humanly and in nature is a result of sin having spread. The Bible says, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. We're reaping the consequences of that one decision that was made when sin entered into the world, and it literally affected nature itself. Nature itself. And all these disasters, God doesn't say. Now, does God allow it? Yeah. Can God keep something from happening? Yes. He absolutely can. He has that power. But we cannot blame God for what's going on in the world today. It's the heart. That's like me saying, that right there destroyed my life. Really? Maybe the mishandling or the misteaching of it caused problems in your life. Maybe whoever was standing before you wasn't properly interpreting Scripture and preaching the right thing, and there was a mess going on. But that in and of itself didn't destroy your life. Are you with me? So proper context, proper understanding. Wow. Understanding the Scripture comes in time through spiritual growth. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5, and then with that I will pray when I'm done reading. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. We might have read this already. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. What is he saying here? He's saying at one time you did not have to be taught this. So something happened in your life. Now, you didn't fall from grace, you didn't lose your salvation, but you stopped growing. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of the righteousness, for he is a babe. That's not a bad thing. But the person that is just still dealing with the milk of the word of God is still in the growth process. Okay? You're still growing. You may not understand some of the thicker stuff in the word of God. And then it says in 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are what? A full age. Even those who by reason of what? By reason of what? Let's say it again. By reason of what? So the more you use it, the more what happens? Okay? By reason of use, have their senses exercised. Your senses will not be exercised if you do not use it. We've got to use it. The more we use it, I love what happened to me when I went down to Mexico. And for the first time in my life, now listen, I grew up in a missionary family. For the first time in my life, I started enjoying leading people to Christ. I used to dread it. I'll just be straight up with you. I used to dread it because I was so scared. What am I going to say? What if they ask me a question I don't know how to respond to? And I found that the more that I did it, the more that I enjoyed it. And the more I enjoyed it, the more I looked to enjoy it. And you get to the point where you're like, all right, where's my next victim? This is fun. And to watch, nothing beats when that person is done praying and they've asked Christ to come into their heart and you take them right back to that verse that they just read, but as many as received into them gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. When they read it before they ask Christ to come into their heart and they read it afterwards, when they read it afterwards, they stop and they go, and I'll ask them, so what are you now based on that? I'm a son of God. And that look on their face, their countenance changes. You can't beat that. That's better than ice cream, brother. And ice cream's good. That's better than ice cream. And so the more I use it, I found, the more I enjoy it, the more I understand it, the more my senses are exercised. May we use the Word of God more every day. Father, thank you so much. We love you. Be with us now. Lord, may we desire your word. It's precious. You are the word. Amen and amen.